and verse number 1. Let's all stand tonight and reverence the Word of God. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, verse number 1. Bible says, "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Where is thy beloved turned aside?" And look what it says. "That we may seek him with thee." That we may seek him with thee. I believe that the world ought to want to know what we got. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. But I want to preach on the thought tonight, on that, knowing that we know by the study of the Song of Solomon that the bride is a picture of the church, and we know the groom is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've studied that before, and I'm not going to try to go into all those things about that tonight. But in here, in chapter number 6, the ones that are there with the bride are asking her questions. So we want to know where he is, and we want to seek him with you. And then she begins to talk about where he is and how he's going to be there. And he talks to her back and forth in this chapter 6. But I want to preach tonight on this thought on what's so great about the church. What's so great about the church? Because truly what we ought to be in the church is the world ought to see that we have something that they want. Amen? And so tonight I just want to introduce you, if you don't know, I want to introduce you some things that are so great about the church. Maybe you'll get a little fire under you. You go out to church tonight and say, "Listen, I want to get somebody to want to know what I got." Amen. It's a great message for a newborn. Amen. Back there. Amen. I'm glad she's in on that. On why is the church so important? Why is it so great? And then for us that's been born again for a while, it's important for us to get reminded on why the church is so great. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the someone says the universal church. When I was born into the family of God, I was born into the body of Christ. Amen. That church there. But someone says, "Where you pay your tithes and offerings? Where you do your service?" I don't do it in the universal church. I do it in a local church. Amen. So everybody ought to be, if you're born again, you're in the universal church. But that doesn't suffice you to go sit underneath a tree somewhere and saying you're having religion. Amen. You ought to be part of a local church. Amen. So I'm going to preach on that thought on what's so great about the church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Father, thank you for all the things you give us tonight. Lord, I really pray tonight you just take heart and thoughts in this tonight. And may it real restir us up. And Lord, remind us of where we got and what we have. And Lord, if there's anyone among us not saved, that you'd save them tonight. This would be the great hour they get saved. And Lord, there's one night that, Lord, maybe a little weary. Lord, I pray you encourage them. Lord, I pray you touch all the church body that's sick. And Lord, that you'd bring them back with us real soon. And Lord, I pray for all the church body that here tonight. Now, Lord, I pray tonight what you'd do is you'd stir us up. Lord, if there's anybody ought to be excited, we ought to be excited. If there's any church, local church, ought to be excited, it ought to be Maple Grove Baptist Church, and that you births a new person into the family this morning in this local body. Lord, if anybody ought to be excited, we ought to be excited. Lord, I pray you'd stir us up by putting us in remembrance. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated today. Amen. If anybody ought to be excited, it ought to be us. Amen. Amen. I went out first thing I did. I let everybody I know. I said, "Hey, man, we had one get saved this morning." Amen. You said, "Are you excited about that?" "Yeah, I'm excited about that." That's what the purpose of the church is. Amen. That's our number one call. Amen. We're here to encourage each other. But our number one thing is to propagate. Amen. And have folks get saved, get in the house of God. So I'm going to give you this tonight. Keep your Bibles open. You want to follow along right here. What's so great about the church? Well, number one, it's where God resides. Amen. I want you to look at with me in verse number 1. "Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among the women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee?" Look at verse number 2. "My beloved is gone down into his garden." Amen. And so the church is a place of visitation. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst." We know that he said he'd be with us. I and the Father would be in that midst. We know that. Amen. And so he goes down into his garden. The church is a picture of that garden there. And that's where he goes. So it's a place of visitation. It says, "To the beds of spices." Amen. It's a place of vapors. It's where the praises and the songs of yore ought to be raised up. We ought to sing. Listen, when we sing songs, we ought not just mumble them. Amen. I'd rather not sing a song as mumble it. I mean, if I sing it bad, sing it loud, but don't mumble it. Amen. And because the Lord's listening in. Amen. And He ought to know that we're singing it. Man, if we sing victory in Jesus, y'all be victory. I mean, we ought to rear back and sing it. Amen. And so, and y'all know that I'm not a good song leader. Say amen right there. It won't hurt my feelings a bit. God didn't call me a song leader. Amen. I don't believe there is a calling on one. I believe there's a skill. Amen. Amen. But I don't know about calling. But I do know this. I do believe when you do it, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. And so when God comes down, there ought to be the vapors of praise and the vapors of song coming up from the church. Amen. In His garden. Notice what it says. In the beds of spices to feed in the garden. Amen. He comes down to a place of victual. He comes down to sit down with us in this garden and have a meal. Amen. Now, sit down with us, Brother Freeman. Amen. And then He says, to gather lilies. And that's what He did this morning. Amen. He comes down to gather lilies. Amen. Listen, church ought to be birthing lilies. Amen. We ought to have a bouquet for the Lord every Sunday. And praise God, I need to drop the cat. Y'all didn't get that. We ought to try to have a bouquet out on the table every Sunday. Amen. Our job is to try to allow people to come to the house of God and get saved. And then when the Lord comes in and saves them, that He can just gather lilies. Amen. That's what the Lord's doing. Amen. And He ought to do it in His garden. If there's anywhere you ought to find lilies, you ought to find it in a garden. Amen. And so we see this here tonight. So number one, why is the church so great? Well, number one, it's where God resides. Amen. You're not going to find Him at the honky tonk. You're not going to find Him at the dance house. You're not going to find God at the ball field. Amen. You're not going to find Him anywhere else, but you will find God will show up at the house of God. Amen. Isn't that amazing? God will show up at His house. That's not overly hard to understand, is it? Amen. Stay with me. Look at verse number 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Notice this. Not only is it where God resides, but the church is where God reigns. Notice what it says. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. We see His lordship. Notice how she says that. In other scriptures, she said, He's mine and I'm His. But in this scripture, as she has matured all the way from the previous verses, the previous chapters, she's got to the point of maturity and she understands that I am my beloved's. Amen. I'm His. And so I have been bought with a price. I have been purchased. He is my Lord. And I know a lot of people don't like lordship. I know that. And the reason is they don't want Him to be Lord over life. But I'm telling you, if you got saved, He's Lord. Amen. I just don't understand people having a hard time with that. Amen. Now, I don't believe you knew everything when you got saved. Now, I don't know everything. Amen. Only time I'll know everything is when I get over there. Amen. But I did know this. I didn't make a deal with God that day. Oh, no. No. Y'all with me tonight? So we see, she says, I am my beloved. There it talks about lordship. But then she talks about love on the ship. And my beloved is mine. Amen. I'm glad I'm His. He's the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad He's mine too. Amen. I don't have to wonder who I'm worshiping this Sunday. Amen. I remember old Paul, he went in that town there and they had so many gods and statues up. They had one God put up to the unknown God up on Mars Hill. I'm glad I know who loves me. Amen. And so she says, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Now, I never saw this before and I've preached to the Song of Solomon a couple times. But notice what it says. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, Brother Freeman, in Song of Solomon chapter number 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Y'all get that? And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe that that's the Lord Himself speaking. Amen. Y'all have a problem with that? I don't believe anybody else can be the rose. I don't believe anybody else can be the lily of the valleys. Now, we might be something in a bunch of valleys, but ain't one of us can be a lily in all the valleys. Amen. So I have a preacher friend of mine says, well, I believe that's talking about the church. I don't. Amen. I just go, there ain't but one rose and there ain't but one lily. Amen. And there's many valleys. And it says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. And notice what it says in verse 2, in chapter 2, verse 2. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. And I never saw this before. Notice what it says. As the lily. In other words, she resembles a lily. She looks like a lily. She's beginning to be like a lily. Is that right? But come back over here to chapter number 4 and verse number 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. Hey, it doesn't say it's as the lilies anymore. It says he feedeth among the lilies. You know what I find out? That in this Christian walk, you become more and more like him the longer you grow. Amen. You quit being as and you become one. Amen. And so that's what he's doing. How, where does God reign? He reigns in lordship. He reigns in this loveship and he reigns in our likeship. In other words, we begin to come. What do we call Christians for? Because they are Christ-like. Amen. And that's what you say, preacher, have you arrived yet? Oh, no. No, no, no. But I would hope, Brother Tony, that in the years being saved now, I would have grown a little closer to the Lord than when I first got in. I would like to be more like him today. I would like to say I'm more like him today than I was when I first got saved. Wouldn't you like to say that? Wouldn't you like to say that? Hey, and so the church is great because it's where God resides. But number two, it's where God reigns. Amen. He is the Lord of the church. At the very best, as pastor, all I can be is under shepherd. At the very best. And that's okay with me. I don't have to be overlord. Amen. I don't have to be head hunter. That's not what it's about. It's a service. We are the under shepherd. A pastor is an under shepherd to the flock of God. And so we see it's where he resides. And we see the church is where he reigns. But also it's where he gets us ready. Look at verse number 4. I believe this world is a dressing room for the next. Amen. I believe this world is a dressing room for the next. If whatever we're going to realize, we need to start realizing it pretty soon here. Amen. Amen. Anything we're going to clean up, need to clean up on this side. Amen. And anything we're going to separate from, because it's a fact, we get over there, we're going to have a brand new body. We're going to obey him. We're going to submit to him. We're going to do all those things. But you're not going to add anything to your crowns over there. You're going to have to get all your dressing over here. Amen. Now watch this. Positionally in verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah. Now, I tell you, I've read this over and over, and I never saw this. He didn't say, thou will be, or thou shall be, or thou could be. No, no. It says this. He's speaking to her, and he says, thou art beautiful. Amen. What does it say? It says, in the Lord's eyes, we are positionally, completely beautiful. Now, Brother Tony could look up here and say, preacher, you're not beautiful. You're not much to look at. And I'd say, amen. We'd all take a vote and go to the house. Amen. But in the Lord's eyes, he looks through me through the blood. And when he looks through the blood, he says, you are positionally beautiful. Thou art beautiful. Amen. I'm glad to say tonight, positionally, God's got me ready. Amen. But notice what it says. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means peaceful. And the word comely means just fitting to be peaceful. And so it simply means this. Not only are we positionally ready, but we're peacefully ready. Amen. We ought to be able to lay our heads on a pillow tonight. Know everything's all right. Amen. God used the church. God used the church to get us to the point where we are positionally and peacefully ready to meet him. You believe that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Latter part of verse number 4. Thou art beautiful, my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, and terrible as an army with banners. For you're perpetual. I mean, every time he looks down, he said, you're terrible. You're strong. You're mighty. Like an army with banners. Oh, you're just marching on. I've got something in a minute. We're going to come back around this, I found. But they're just marching on. And he says this. The church is a place where God gets us ready positionally, God gets us ready peacefully, and God gets us ready perpetually. We are supposed to be already ready, all the ways ready, to go to the battlefield. Amen. Where does he do that at? In the church. Amen. That's where you learn to stand. How are you going to fight that battle? How are you going to fight that battle? Well, what does he say? Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Isn't that what it says? Take the helmet of salvation. Take the shield of faith and that sword, which is the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Some people say, I don't know what that Spirit is. And they just read their Bible, which is the Word of God. Amen. What does God do? God gets us ready in the church. We come to the house of God and God teaches us how to fight the battle. Amen. And so you got that. Are y'all with me? Now watch this. Look at verse number 5. I believe it's where God gives us reason. I believe the local church is where God gives us reason. A lot of times we just need some reasoning to go out and do something. Are y'all ready? Now look at this verse number 5 down through verse number 10. And in this passage of Scripture, God is reasoning with His bride. In verse number 5, it is actually the groom speaking to the bride. And the groom turns to their bride and says this, "Turn thy eyes away from me, for they have overcome me." He literally tells his wife, "Don't look at me." And you know what he says that for? He says that because he is absolutely overwhelmed with love by her glance. In other words, he plumb beside himself. I didn't know I was going to preach on a home night. Maybe I should. This is to the couple. I mean, you know, to glance around, she looks at him and he just blushes. He gets excited about who she is. Now, that's amazing that God can look at his church and say, "Listen, I can't hardly stand when you look at me that way because I love you so much." And God begins to encourage our consideration. In chapter 4, verse number 1, he says, "Thou hast dove's eyes." And dove's eyes talks about a tender eye, a calm eye, a peaceful eye. And it says this, that God wants us to have us an eye of consideration. But when she turns and looks at him, hey, when the church is right and looks up and bats her eyes at her Savior, hey, amen, he sees a church that cares with her eyes. Amen. Someone said the eyes are the windows to the soul. Amen. And boy, she looked at him and said, "Boy, I sure do care for everything you care about. Boy, there's nothing better. Hey, there's no groom alive. There's no groom alive that don't care when his bride looks at him when he's talking." Amen. How many of you is talking to her and she's out there looking at somebody else? You wouldn't be too happy about it. But boy, she's looking at you. Well, I mean, if you caught her attention. Now, us husbands, ugly we are. When our wife looks us our way, amen, she's got that certain look in her eye. That look of love. You say, "Man, that's got my attention." When the church looks at Christ and begins to have consideration of Him and has those dove's eyes, well, it gets God so excited, He said, "You got to look away for a minute. I can't stand it." Whew. I feel like I need to run out the back door for a minute. Look at all with me. He says, "Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead." Now, we don't know the response to that. We say, "Lord, He's calling her hair like goat's hair." But you know what it means? Those hairs of those goats were fine hair. They were fine combed hair. What it means is this. He says, listen, He's encouraging her combing. He said, not only do you have a sanctified care in your eyes, but you have a sanctified conduct. When I look at you, I can tell that you prepared yourself for me. Amen. Hey, husband longs to look at his wife and wants to see her hair in place. Amen. She begins to comb her hair back and she begins to comb those things out of her hair, those tangles out of her hair. She begins to get that hair straight. He said, man, when I look at you, not only do I see in your eyes that you care, but I see in your hair, I see your conduct, you are sanctified in your conduct, and you are preparing yourself to meet me, and you're getting yourself all cleaned up. Amen. Boy, I feel like running around shouting amen. He said, I can't hardly stand myself. Look on with me. He says, verse 6, "Thy teeth as a flock of sheep, which go up from washing, wherever every one beareth twins, and there is not one barren among them." He says, listen, I also know that you're sanctified and you're consuming. Listen, what you eat will show up on your teeth. Amen. Amen. If you don't brush your teeth, you don't clean your teeth, you don't floss your teeth, you don't keep your teeth right, hey, what you are consuming shows up on your teeth. But he says, you know what? I look at my bride and they're just as white and they're just as clean. They must be eating. She must be eating clean things. Woo! She must be consuming fresh milk. Amen. She must be eating some honey every now and then. And chewing on some meat every now and then. Because when I look at her teeth, they're all clean and white. He says, I sure want to encourage you. Because when I look at your teeth, they're white. And they're clean and they're right. Boy, I tell you one thing about that excites me. That what you are, I want to encourage you in your consuming. He says in verse number 7, as a piece of pomegranate are thy temples within thy flocks. Boy, I found this and I found it before, but I about come unglued. You know what this says right there? You know what pomegranate is? It's a very unusual fruit. Pomegranate, you look at it on the outside, just look like a little knob, don't look like nothing to it. But if you take a pomegranate and cut it in half, it has a blushing center. The center of it blushes. What he is talking about here is when he looks at her temples, he sees her blush underneath her flocks of hair. She's like, y'all ain't getting it. She's a combing her hair waiting to see him. And she gets to think about him. And she begins to blush herself. Boy, I tell you, sometimes, church, what the church ought to be is start thinking about him. You say, well, I had to get clean. I had to get sanctified. I had to get separated. You know what will help you do that? Is why you're combing all them tangles out of your hair. You get thinking about him. Amen. Amen. He'll notice that little blush that comes across your temples. He'll notice that you're thinking about him. Amen. Because he's thinking about you. Amen. Hey, the Bible says this. Said he looks at it and said, you got to look away. I can't hardly stand myself. Boy, every time the church starts getting right, God starts getting ready. I mean, I believe sometime when the church is on, I believe we've combed our hair and brushed our teeth. Amen. I believe we're thinking about him. We've done everything the way we should have done it. We're considering him. We get to looking up to him. We get to combing. Hey, I think of a young girl just got engaged. Amen. Amen. And she's engaged and she's sitting at home in front of that mirror. And she's combing those tangles out. Amen. And she's brushed her teeth. Amen. And she gets to think about him. Her eyes get to, you know how them girls do. They turn their eyes and get to thinking about him. Hey, man, she's thinking about him. And in that thought between the, hey, underneath the locks of her hair, she begins to blush on her temples. Oh, praise God. I believe that. I believe if the groom can just even imagine she's thinking of him that way. He says, boy, I can't hardly wait to go get her. I believe sometime when the church gets that way, we begin to look in that mirror, right mirror of the Word, and we begin to comb the tangles out of our hairs. We begin to get our teeth all clean with that milk and that honey and that meat. Amen. We begin to get everything right. I believe the borders of heaven are bent over with Lord said, Son, Father, can I go? Can I go? Can I go? Amen. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad he's excited about his bride. You say, I don't know about all that. I ain't get much out of it. Well, boy, let me have my time. Don't mess it up for me. Look at verse number 8. There are 70 and queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. He says, I know they are. There are 70 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is one of her mother that bare her. She is the choice one of her mother that bare her. The daughter saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. You know what she said? You know what he says? He said, I just want to encourage you on your standing out in the crowd. He said, I know there's a lot of them out there. That's this group and that group. There's the mooses and the mises. Amen. There's a little crowd down here and a little meeting over here and a little thing over here. But he said, I just want to tell you this. You're the one of your mother that stands out. You're the one I'm coming for. Amen. Hey, there's a lot out in this world, but the Lord sure does love the church. Amen. So what is he doing? He's encouraging our sanctification of our care and our conduct and our consuming and our chastity. Amen. Our blushing and to stand out in the crowd. He says, you ought to be that way. You ought to be that way. See, it's where the church is where God gives us a reason to live like we do. Look with me what he also does in that. When he begins to encourage her, notice what it does for her. Look at verse number 10. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning? All of a sudden he's encouraging her. He's telling her, say, man, I love it when you look at me that way. I love it when you clean yourself up. I love it when you brush your teeth. I love it when you eat the right things. I love it when you're sanctified in your chastity. I love it when you blush and keep that right blush about you. Amen. We live in a generation that doesn't blush anymore, but thanks be to God, the church still blush over Jesus. Amen. I love it when you stand out in a crowd. Boy, when he begins to tell her that, you know what she does? She begins to look forward to morning. Amen. Might be some sorrow at nighttime, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. The old church starts raising his eyes up. She starts raising her eyes up and said, you know what? We're in a dark time now, but any time now, Lord may come back. The sun's going to rise in the morning. Amen. You know why she does that? Because he has encouraged her that he is looking forward to seeing her. Amen. Boy, when God, when we try to live right before God and God starts to breathe on the service, God lets us know that he's had his first stamp of approval on the service like we had this morning. Amen. I want to go on and say amen and say amen. But all these encouragements. Y'all still with me? Look at with me now. Who is this that looketh forth as the morning? Fair as the moon. Fair as the moon. You know what the moon is, don't you? It's just a big old rock up in the sky. That big old rock in the sky, all it does is bring light in the nighttime. You know what it does? It does it two ways. Number one, it receives light, and it reflects light. It's not a black hole up there. It's a white stone. Amen. That light comes in, so he says, I'll take it. But the first thing I'll do with it is I'll shine it back down. You know what the church ought to be? When he encourages us, not only should it grow in our hopefulness, but it ought to grow in our faithfulness. If there's any time the light ought to shine the darkness, it ought to be this time. You know the only time the moon don't shine? It's when the world gets between it and the sun. That's the only time the moon don't shine. It's when the world gets between it. Brother Nance, that's the only time we don't shine. And he's counting on us shine. We got to get it where the world don't get between us and God. So we can shine in a dark, dark time. Amen. And listen, he's encouraged us to do so. Hey, look on with me. The Bible says this. It says, well, my goodness, he comes right back to that again. And terrible as army with banners. What in the world is he talking about there? Terrible as an army with banners. You know what an army with banner is? It's not what this group is that attacked America a couple years ago. It's not terrorist. You know what an army of banner is? You know what a banner is, don't you? It's a flag. You know why an army holds a banner up? Number one, it shows its commitment. Amen? It says, I am committed to this cause. I'm committed to this cause. I have conviction that this is the right cause. And it holds its banner up. And I have confidence that we're going to win under this banner. Amen. And fourthly, I've got courage. I'm not going to lay this banner down. Amen. He said, you're as terrible as an army with banners. He said, you know what? You ain't a bit bashful. You ain't a bit apologetic. You ain't a bit you ain't gonna let your flag down. You're just holding that flag up and you're scary. An army with a cause is dangerous. And he says, you're like an army with a banner. He said, what's happened, preacher? Oh, all that encouragement has helped us to go on and grow in hopefulness and faithfulness and be what we ought to be. You say, preacher, why is the church so important? It's where God gives us reason. In the house of God, we learn of His Word and learn of His love and learn of His likeness and learn what He wants us to go and how He wants to do. And then we start picking that flag up and we walk back out of the house of God. And somebody says, what are you? And you say, I'm a Christian because I've got courage. And I've got confidence and I've got conviction. And I believe that this thing, this banner I'm holding up is true and faithful. And I'm going to march on with it. I'm not going to hold my head down. Hey, I don't have to walk out of the house of God and we had a good church Sunday and I'll go back out in the world. Oh, no. We walk out of church with our head held high. Say, thanks be to God. Well, God reminded me the other day. I think I'll go out and face that crowd one more time. Amen. And you want to chase hell? Hey, you want to chase hell down with a water pistol? Amen. 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 Because you believe. You've been encouraged in the house of God. Amen. Why is the church so important? Because in the church we find reason. Y'all with me tonight? So why is it so important? Why is it so great about the church? It's where God resides. It's where God reigns. It's where God gets us ready. It's where God gives us reason. And it's where God waits on and wants us to be till He raptures us. Let me show it to you. Look at verse 11. This is him speaking. I went down into the garden of nuts. I thought it was so funny. It's not meant that way. Amen. We're just carnal. Amen. I went down to the... If that ain't far enough, watch this. I went down into the garden of nuts to seize the fruits. Amen. We're carnal, aren't we? That's not what that means. A groom, when he was getting ready to marry his bride, they would go out and gather sweet, fragrant nuts from the gardens. And what they would do is they were leaving, they would throw out those nuts to the children. It's sort of like a pardon gift. Amen? A little pardon gift. And what he's doing is he's had to leave her for a little while. And he said, I'm just going out getting a party gift so when we leave, we can leave out with a whirl. Amen. We can make a pile when we leave. And he says, I went down to the garden nuts to see the fruits of the valley, see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. He said, I just want to see if there's anything happening. But look what he says in verse number 12. He's lingering there. Verse number 12, he begins to get a longing for her. He says, or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Abinadab. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? And he says, he gets down there and he's gathering some things up, getting ready for the wedding. He says, when I get there, he said, I got so excited. He said, I was like a wide open, that chariot means a wide open chariot. He said, I just want to run back and get her. He said, I got to think about our wedding. I just got to think about her. I was back down there while I was picking up those fruits and nuts out there. He said, I got so excited about her. I just wanted to run out and get her. Well, I won't be there about a quick, but I'm going to get there about a twinkling of an eye. Real fast chariot. Real fast chariot. Just about that quick. Amen. I got thinking about there while I was getting everything ready for our wedding. And I said, you know what, I think I'll just take off after right now. I wonder if the Lord's thinking about that over there right now. Amen, amen, amen. And they say, well, what's so special about the Shulamite? What's so special about your bride? Return, return, verse 13, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? And I never knew this. And watch this, church. This is good stuff. I mean, if you don't like nothing, I said, you ought to get this. Verse 13. As it were the company of two armies. Now, we read that and go, right? But there's something stands out of that. Because we know when he was talking about that banner, two times he says, as terrible as, look at with me, an army. As terrible as an army. He says it two times. He says it over there in verse number 3. He says it over there in verse number 10. An army. I ain't real smart, but that means one. One army. Amen. He said, you're like a, down there, you're just like an army with banners. You're just waving the flags. Woo! Hold the fort. He is coming. Amen. That's what we're like. And he encouraged us to be that way. But he says when he goes and gets her, when he goes to get her, he said, what makes her so special is it were as of the company of two armies. Now, don't read ahead because ain't no head to read ahead of. You're out of verses. The next verse ain't going to help you then. Amen. Look here, church. That word armies is the Greek word for the Hebrew word of Mahanaim. And we look and say, well, what's Mahanaim? Wouldn't you? Amen. Oh, look, oh, y'all got that look. What's Mahanaim? Why don't you take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 32? If y'all don't get this, I'm going to say it, and then I'm just going to let it sit for a minute. If somebody don't get this, amen. In this word here, he brings out something there in that Hebrew word. This word is used twice and translated two different ways. It's the same word. I said Greek, excuse me. Two words in Hebrew are translated. I want you to look at it with me. In Genesis chapter 32, verse number 1. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Now, Jacob's going home. Look here, church. He's going home. And he's got his band with him, right? He's got his army of family. And they're heading home. And he's going to go face Esau a little bit. That's a big deal. Here's Jacob heading home. And the Bible says he runs into angels on the way. Amen. That's a good place to run. Look at verse 2. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of the place Mahanaim. Now the word Mahanaim is translated in the book of Song of Solomon in chapter number 6, verse number 13, as two armies. You know what it says right there? It says when the Lord... Good gracious, y'all. It says when the Lord calls us, and the crowd says, well, what makes them so special? What makes the Shunammite so special? It says when we get ready to enter into heaven, only God can see it. Y'all ever remember that one we just studied about? Wasn't it Elisha? Where his servant was right there. And his servant says, how shall we do? And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And there's chariots of fire, chariots of angels of fire all around the mountaintop. That means there was another army there. Beside the army that was there. You know what's going to make the church special? You know what makes the church special? All the way to the day that we get to walk up in heaven. We're like, hey, look, I wish I had a flag. We're down here going, woo, woo, hold the fort, woo, woo. And a lot of times our enemy fades away. But what we don't understand is there's a great army of angels that walk along with the church all the time. They've been walking us all the way. And Brother Tony, you know what they're going to do? They're going to walk us all the way to that golden city, right up to them gates, turning sideways, salute, and we're going to march right on in. Don't realize that the battles that we thought we were fighting, it was because the army is with us the whole time. What makes her so special? Well, she's like two armies. One that's waving a flag. You know what we're like? We're like the parade army. We're like the parade army. But the truth of the matter is God's got a whole band of angels that have been fighting battles for us all along. One of these days we don't even know they're there. One of these days when he's going to call us home, that band of angels is going to line us up and we're going to walk into heaven together. Praise God. If y'all don't get that, somebody about midnight ought to get up and run around the house and say, hey, goody-goody devil. Hey, goody-goody devil. All I am is waving a flag. I'm just a flag bearer. I'm just a flag bearer. But God's got another army that's been watching out for me all along. That's what makes the church so great. We got someone that loves us. We love him. And he encourages us. But he ain't never left us here alone. He ain't never left us here alone. We're just like two armies heading home. One silent and quiet, taking care of the battlefield. One hollering all the way home. Just a flag carrier. Just a trumpet blower. All I am is a trumpet blower. But the big army's on the outside walking along with us. All the way home. Let's all stand. It's a great thing to be part of the church. It's a great thing to be part of the church. I wouldn't want to be part of nothing else. Wouldn't want to join nothing else. Wouldn't want to run with nothing else. Don't care about getting a ring for nothing else. Amen. Got my engagement ring. That's the only ring I need. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside that we may see him with thee? And she says, my beloved's gone down to its garden. She's the garden. My beloved's with me. Church, that's what the whole world ought to be asking us. Where's Jesus at so we can be with him? And you tell him, oh, he's down at the house. He's down at the garden. It's a great place to be. He loves me. He tells me he loves me. He gets me ready to love him. He encourages me. And he's protecting me. Amen. And we're going to make it home. We're going to make it home. We're going to make it. Hey, you know what? Mr. Rondo and some of those teachers were teaching about those angels over there, how many angels we got around us and all that stuff. Hey, 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 it's all tied together now, ain't it? Amen. And they're going to march right on into glory with us. I want to be good to look over. I don't know what his name be, but that one's been following me all along. I'd like to talk to him because I know I put him all over time. One of these days, he's going to march on in there with me. I'll be able to watch him as I walk by him. I'll be the little flag waver. I don't know exactly how big an angel is, but I know they're awful powerful. But here's the thing about it. He that made them is more powerful. And he's our groom. And he's got a supper prepared for us over there. We're going to leave out here and he's going to be throwing nuts and fruit out. We're going to be marching home together. Y'all get that sometime at nighttime. Amen. It'll run over and you say, thanks be to God. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I'm part of the church. I'm glad I'm part of the church. Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads tonight. Dear Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Lord, I pray we'd never forget what you did for us. Lord, I pray we'd never forget what you're doing for us. Lord, I pray we'd come to the church. We're part of the church. We're born into the church. But Lord, I pray that we'd be part of the church. Lord, that we might go out and do something from you with the church. God, I pray that I'd be a flag waver and a trumpet blower. Lord, I know the battle's yours. Lord, I at least want to make the parade exciting. I want to beat that drum or hit that cymbal. I want to wave that flag. I want the world to know that I'm excited about where I'm going. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.